official. Older Australians are keeping up with millennials in terms of exercise. Now, new research reveals Australians over the age of 50 average more than 14 hours of exercise every week, which is just 2 hours less than those half their age in the 18 to 24 bracket. What's wrong with you young people? Let's find out what exercises older Aussies are doing and how to keep fit when you're suffering with a few aches and pains, a little bit of joint pain mainly. If you've got a health question, give us a call on 131873. Bill Sakala is a Sydney-based exercise physiologist and nutritionist, and he joins me on the line right now. Bill, thank you very much for your time.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the invite.
So older Australians are keeping up with the millennials in exercise stakes. I don't know whether that says a great thing for older Australians or a bad thing for millennials. What is it?
Well, I think we first have to put those numbers into context. So there was a recent consumer survey which compared the activity habits of 18 to 24-year-olds, so those are the younger Australians in the survey, versus the older Australians who were aged 50 to 64. And what we found is that when we broke down physical activity into three different types or three different classes of activity, the first was planned exercise, which might be, for example, going to the gym or going out and having a long walk. The second was play, and the third was what we call incidental activity or activities of daily living. So, for example, doing things around the house. Now, that's really where that's the smoking gun to this these similarities between older and younger Australians. So first off, when it came to planned exercise, the younger Australians were actually twice as active as older Australians. Now, we might expect to see that because they're going to spend more time in the gym and doing things that will improve their aesthetics. Whereas on the other end of the spectrum, looking at incidental activity, the older Australians that were surveyed actually performed almost double what the younger Australians were doing. So, in other words, the younger Australians were more likely to go to the gym and do planned exercise.
Uh-huh.
Older Australians were making up the difference by wasting energy at all times of the day, much more so than younger Australians. So we don't often look at a vacuum cleaner as a piece of exercise equipment, but in this particular case, it was the incidental movement that really made up the difference. And we did see similar levels of play, so those numbers were quite close. So the final numbers, as you rightfully pointed out at the beginning of the segment, you said over 14 hours of physical activity was performed by older Australians. So the specific number was 14.73 hours worth of activity for older Australians and 16.25 hours of physical activity for younger Australians. So the difference is only 1.5 hours between the two age groups.
So what's the better exercise?
Okay, now we're getting somewhere. So it is true that planned exercise does have a lot of health benefits. And I think what we tend to see in the media is that we get a bit blinded by this idea that you have to be doing planned, structured exercise in a box that we call a gym, and we don't really give enough weight to the value of incidental movement. And incidental movement, again, to reiterate, is the time that we waste throughout the day doing non-exercise types of activities. So it might be cleaning the house, gardening, it could be washing the car, it might even be active transport, for example. So maybe walking to work or taking a bicycle to work. So all those things add up. So the incidental movement is something that really doesn't get enough airtime. And the real value of that from a health perspective is that just by virtue of being upright and gravity bearing, that can have profound benefits on our overall health. And we've got a lot of homegrown Australian research that actually supports that. And so those benefits are independent of going to the gym or going out and having a long walk.
And I guess, too, it makes sense for older Australians to do less of the real hard yakka in a gym, especially when you've got a few aches and pains and joint pain, etc., and to do it a little bit more incidentally because it doesn't hurt your body as much.
Well, yeah, look, I'll say two things to that. First off, you're absolutely right. Once we hit, well, I'll say 40 plus, lots of conditions that end in itis start creeping up, one of which, of course, is osteoarthritis. And so it is true that in this survey, we found that of the individuals who reported having joint pain, about 40% of those said, I'm just going to get on with it. either by working through their pain. So we try to help people find their pain-free range of motion, and also maybe taking an over-the-counter painkiller or topical cream. So they just said, look, yeah, I know humans are pleasure seekers, pain avoiders, but that's not a reason for me to just sit here and do nothing. I need to keep moving. So one of the things I like to point out when I give talks on this particular topic is that the body does not always know age, but it definitely knows neglect. Mm. So when it comes to older adults, we don't necessarily want to say that all older adults have joint pain. I mean, it's true statistically, they're going an older demographic of the population is going to have more joint pain. But it's all, we also have to match up the activity to the individual. And there are lots of older adults who, they still do participate in regular structured exercise.
Okay, so if I've got significant joint pain, and I know I can't go to the gym, I know that I can't match it with someone who wants to do a jog around the block, what can I do with my body? And it really doesn't matter what age you are, but say you're over 50. What are the best things to do, apart from incidental walking from A to B?
Yeah, good. So, I mean, we have the incidental movements around the house, but things that are non-jarring. So as a good example of that, it might even be riding a bicycle. A lot of people that have joint pain when they walk, doing something like riding a bicycle or using the elliptical trainers at fitness centers, for example, swimming as well. Here in Australia, as we know, we're an ocean nation, and a lot of people spend time down at the Surf Life Saving Club and go out for their morning swim. Now, that's not gravity-bearing in the same way that we would look at walking, but we shouldn't discount it either. Any amount of activity is good activity, independent of your age. So I think what it really comes down to, in answer to your question, is that we need to find the activities that allow us to work through some of that joint pain. And again, particularly things like walking and jogging and running, for some people can be quite uncomfortable. Yeah. But I would also want to point out that it's important not to necessarily discount those activities, even if you have joint pain.
Over the years, I've spoken to so-called experts about older Australians exercising, and they seem to have a very positive reaction when I say, well, what about lifting hand weights? Hand weights for older Australians.
Yeah, look, I think I'll say two things. Look, sure, anything's better than nothing. So depends on the amount of resistance. So if we're talking about a 1 kilo dumbbell, for somebody who's very deconditioned, that might be adequate. But I would also say we still, no matter what the person's age, it is still very important to make sure there's a challenge on the body. So if the weights are too light, then it's probably not going to have a significant stimulus effect on the body to get stronger. So I would say, look, hand weights are great, but we need to make sure that those weights are just enough to add enough challenge to the body so that it adapts to become stronger and therefore improves that individual's quality of life.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting thing, I think the message has got to be work out ways where you actually don't go out of your way to exercise, but do the things you've got to do in your life, but use your body to do them. So instead of, jumping in the car to go up and get some groceries, a handful of groceries, maybe make the extra effort to walk the two blocks to go and get those groceries and come back again.
Absolutely. Yeah. And look, you make a good point. We need to have people find ways that they can become active. And some good, real quick, practical examples is, number one, find an activity you like doing. Yeah. Number two, find pain-free ways of doing that activity. Make sure you get a good warm-up. Ease into the activity. Again, maximize incidental movements. So again, we're not talking about structured exercise, but waste energy at all times of the day. Get a workout partner, somebody who you enjoy spending time with. So there's the added benefit of social connectedness plus the activity, getting adequate recovery time after you finished exercise. Exercise is a challenge to the body, and it's important to let your body recover so that it gets stronger and is ready for the next exercise session. So those are just, again, some really practical ways that people can get out and get active. But I guess the point I'd really like to impress upon listeners is that if you have joint pain, no matter what creaks and aches and pains you have, try to work within your pain-free range of motion. Or even if you work up just to the threshold where you start to feel a little bit of discomfort, that's okay. But if you keep pushing it to the point where you feel like you have an ice pick in your shoulder, then that's going a little bit too far.
And what's the result if we just sit on our backsides and do nothing?
If we sit on our bums, I think the answer to that's quite obvious. Number one, joint pain's probably going to get worse. The body's designed for movement. If you look at the body, it's actually made to move, where muscles, ligaments, tendons that cross articulations that we call joints, that makes our entire body a lever system, and levers are basically meant to move. So when we sit around and we do nothing, in fact, we're going to get tighter. Exercise and physical activity is going to get more difficult, and that in fact is something that I often point out, that this thing we call a health footprint. Most people know about a carbon footprint, but I'm talking about a health footprint, which is where our physical limitations not only affect us individually, but they affect everyone around us. Yeah. So we can potentially become a burden on coworkers, family, friends. So it's
not a choice. Not a choice. Get up and do something is the message. Bill, I've got to run. I'm running out of time, but thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for your time.
All right. Sydney-based exercise physiologist and nutritionist, Bill Sakala. And hopefully some tips, but more than that, a little bit of motivation to get up and do something, even if it is incidental. But well done to Alder Australia.